With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Everybody, and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm your host Ben, and coming up over the course of the next hour or so, we're going to be looking back at all last weekend's results in the Northern Premier League. Later in the show, we're going to be looking ahead to the future in the Northern Premier League, as we'll be joined by Yorkshire Coast Radio's very own Andrew Snaith, and we're also going to be catching up with the managers at Witton Albion, at Gainsborough Trinity, at Buxton, at Warrington, and at Stafford Rangers. But before all of that, in the beginning, there was James Hayes. Hello, James. How are they?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all good. So, it finally happened, everyone. And if you're a South Shields fan, look away now. They finally got beat at home. And we're only mentioning it because it was such a fantastic record South Shields had at Mariners Park that it is such a big deal. Somebody did it. And Warrington did it, James. And I suppose if anyone was going to be doing it, it was going to be one of the three other title contenders this season. And you know, Farsley came close, but Warrington did it, James, at the weekend, beating South Shields at Mariners Park by 2-1. Quite a result.
Yeah, indeed. So it says quite a lot as well for the top three at this moment in time too, because that little bit of a deadlock finally seems to have a bit of a break. We're still not, obviously, still got two sides up there at this moment, 11 goals splitting them. But that's a huge, huge result there for Warrington.
I was speaking to a Farsley fan this week, and he knows who he is. And he's a happy Farsley fan, but he doesn't think South Shields are out of it. And I don't think they're out of it either. This weekend, South Shields will be travelling to Bamber Bridge. Farsley Celtic will be hosting Witton Albion, and Warrington will be hosting Nantwich Town. So Nantwich aren't completely out of it either yet. So it's going to be a very big weekend to come. And as we said, Andrew Snaith will be joining us later. Because it's such a big result and because Warrington were the team that did it, it would be rude not to get on the manager at Warrington Town. I know we had Paul Cardin on a couple of weeks ago. I know, listener, but we've got to get him. James, I'm right, aren't I? I'm not over-egging this.
It is. You're right. Yeah,
I am right. So let's say now, from manager at Warrington Town, here's Paul Cardin.
It was always going to be a tough game, because not only because of the record, but because they are a very good side, and you know, they play a brand of football that's good and it suits them with the players they've got. Play a diamond with clever midfielders, and it can hurt you if you're not organised and you're not, you know, you don't defend well and you don't do the ugly side of the game right, which is what we have to do to make sure we got the win.
So obviously, it sees you joint top. The title race has been going on all season long. We've got 12 cup finals left, essentially. How was the mood in the dressing room as we head into this final straight now of the season?
Yeah, obviously the lads are confident and the spirits are good, but you know, we're not losing sight of we're in February and nothing's won or lost. But at the same time, we're entering a mini-season now where we need to rack up as many points as we can with what's available. You know, we're starting to slowly get the couple of injuries we had back, and obviously that's making us stronger, so which is massively important in these games. We've got a tough game tomorrow at home to Nantwich, and then we've got a journey to Workington on Tuesday. So it's important we get these players back, you know, in order to keep everyone right and keep the squad as fresh as it can be.
Now, when we talk about this league, and I know it's an obvious thing to say, you know, there are no easy games in this division and all that palaver. You have got two contrasts coming up. You've got Nantwich Town, who are trying to get themselves into the playoffs and nailed on as we go into, and it's not beyond all realms of possibility they could put on a late title push. And then you've got Workington, who are fighting for their lives. There are no easy games, and it must be very difficult to set your team up for two different types of matches to come.
It is, but I think it's important, especially, you know, from where we are, not to deviate too far away from what our strengths are. You know, as long as the lads understand what, you know, Nantwich's strengths, which we played against them earlier on in the season, they beat us 2-1 at their place. We were poor in the first half, but we probably, you know, they'd come away with a point, I'd have been disappointed because we should have won the game. You know, Kukiel acknowledged that himself. He said it afterwards. He said we were hanging on. But, you know, we lost the game ultimately and because of our first half showing. So we know what it's going to be. He worked the ball well. Sean, Dave's son, is a very, very good player at this level and key for them in making them tick. So, you know, we know what their strengths are. So as long as we play to ours, we'll try and, you know, reduce their moments where they can do something, then that's what we look to do. You know, and then obviously going on to work, and then I watched them on Tuesday night, and tough conditions for both teams, and they had a man sent off, and to be fair, they probably should have took the lead against Witten. So, like you've just said, and like most managers will echo, there isn't an easy game because there's always somebody playing for something. If you string a few results together, it can get you out the bottom to middle table. It can get you from middle table to touching the playoffs, and it can get you from in the playoffs to being in contention with a shout for the league. And there's always someone playing for something, and that's, you know, we're mindful of that.
Big game tomorrow. What's your message to the home support?
Just get behind us. I think we had over 100 fans at South Shields last week in a cracking atmosphere. 100 fans, very vocal. You know, so I think there'll be a decent gate on tomorrow because Nantwich travel well. You know, they travel in good numbers, and so we just got to be everyone pulling in the one direction and getting as many people through the gate as we can supporting us and get behind the lads in this final push.
Paul Carden, manager at Warrington Town. I feel like I should invite Adam Lakeland on this week as well because he was pretty much on the same show. But James, let's move on from the Warrington Town results at the weekend and let's talk about Farsley Celtic then. And Farsley Celtic on Saturday, they're their own brilliant result, beating Matlock Town at Causeway Lane by 2-1. Very, very good result that for Farsley. And like we said, it's neck and neck still up at the top, 65 points each. The goal difference is 34 each, plus 34 each, which is remarkable. Farsley Celtic do have a game in hand. I've convinced myself while I've been talking, James, that I need to get Adam Lakeland on.
Fair enough.
I can't show bias. We're getting down to the serious business now, aren't we? You know, there's only how many games left have we got? We've only got 12 games left of the season. Yeah. So it's getting down to the serious. So I can't show bias to anybody. So let's hear now the manager at Farsley Celtic. Here's Adam Lakeland. So, Adam, a big thank you for joining us. Going to Causeway Lane and picking up 3 points the way you did on Saturday, you must be dead happy with that one.
Yes, I was. Tough place to go. I mentioned it before the game that they've had an unbelievable upturn in results since Dave Frecklington took over. And you know, I think before the game, he came out and said that it was their biggest game of the season because he felt that they had to win that if they were, you know, going to have a realistic chance of making the playoffs. So, you know, we knew that it was going to be a tough game, and you know, falling behind wasn't ideal, and it made the game and the challenge a lot more difficult. But we managed to get ourselves back level by the break, and I felt in the second half we kept knocking on the door, played very positively, and despite having a couple of goals disallowed for offside, the players kept going till the end, and we found a way to win, and it was another very valuable 3 points for us.
And when you go back into the dressing room at five o'clock, and you know, you do your post match team talk and all that, then you come out and you look at your mobile phone and you look at football web pages, and you see the fact that Warrington have beaten South Shields. What did you think at that point?
Well, I wasn't overly surprised by the result, if I'm being honest. I would have preferred a draw, but I wasn't overly surprised. I mean, you know, Warrington are a good side. They're very, very structured defensively. They're very, very solid. You just need to look at the goals against Column this season to see that they are a difficult team to play against and to break down. And just going back to our game up there a few weeks ago, we had chances in the game, and I was disappointed that we didn't win it ourselves. So I wasn't surprised, because it was two very good teams, different reasons going against one another. But I think it's still early and premature for anybody to be, you know, getting too carried away and getting too reading too much into results elsewhere. You know, it's just a case of us concentrating on each game at a time. I know it's boring and it's probably not what you want me to say on here, but it's the truth. I mean, we've got 13 games to go. Warrington, South Shields have got 12. And, you know, there's still the best part of a third of the season left to play. So I would have preferred a result, don't get me wrong. A draw, sorry, as a result in that game. Certainly, we've also getting maximum points, but it's just the way it was. So we try and get another good result at the weekend.
Just to assure you, Adam, on this show, we never read too much into results, honest. when it comes to the title race, like you say, I think there's going to be a fair few twists and turns to come. And even though the gap's now 5 points to South Shields, we are in a title running now. You do come across as very calm and measured. How are you keeping your feet on the ground at the moment and making sure that your boys don't lose sight of what's coming up over the next couple of months or so?
You know, we've got plenty of experience in the dressing room, which I've said before. You know, we've got a lot of lads in our camp that have experienced success before, and you know, we know that we're in a good position, but there's still a long way to go, and you can never get too carried away, certainly in these leagues. They're so grueling that every single game and every single team poses a different challenge. But you know, myself personally, I'm not bothered in the slightest by it. I think, you know, I was at Curzon Ashton for a couple of seasons when we went up through the playoffs from this league, and we won the league below. I was at Northwich, and we finished third there. We did go top actually at one point, and we got deducted 9 points, and ended up going down the playoff routes and getting beat by Spennymoor. So, you know, both myself, my management team, and the group of players, we've got a lot of experience, and we've got a lot of experience of being involved towards the top end of the league. So we're not getting fazed by it, but we're also not getting carried away, because we know how hard and how much effort we've put into the season so far, and it'd be very foolish of us to take our eye off the ball and become complacent at this stage. You know, we know that we've got some very difficult still to play, and you know, there'll be no letting up at our end, that's for sure.
And two home games to come this week, Witten Albion on Saturday. I think Witten Albion's got one of the best away forms in the league, apart from yourselves and Warrington. And then on Tuesday night, it's North Ferriby. Like you say, it's all very measured, all taking one game at a time. How's the squad shaping up going into these next two games at home?
Yeah, I mean, what's probably been underestimated from people outside, and I think the reason why it's been overlooked is because we don't make excuses, you know, but we've come through December, January with some really hard fixtures, and even early February, really, really tough fixtures. And certainly December and January, we had Jimmy Spencer suspended, Ben Atkinson suspended, we've had Jack Dyche out, we had Will Ayers missing for 6 weeks. You know, we've had quite a lot of issues, and certainly over the Christmas and New Year period, and Witten Albion being one of those games, we had a bare 11. You know, we had 11 senior players and a couple of, you know, kids on the bench. So, you know, we've come through a difficult run. But going back to the Witten game, we expect another very difficult game. I mean, I went up on Tuesday night to watch them at Workington, because obviously we've got both of them to play in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, Witten defensively, they're so organised, and they don't give you many chances. They defend very well, but they also pose a real threat on the break. You know, they've got some good players within their team. And when we played them earlier in the season, it was in December, we fell behind twice, although it was to two goals that we made errors. And we managed to find a way to come back, and Nathan Cartman scored in the 87th minute to get us a very valuable win. So, you know, we know that it's going to be a difficult game tomorrow against Witten, but it's one that we've got to go into, you know, full of confidence and look for a positive result, as we do on Tuesday night against North Ferriby. I mean, obviously, they're not in a good place at the moment, but, you know, you see it time and time again that when teams are kind of dismissed and they're in adversity, they find ways to galvanise themselves and put in a shift for one another. So we won't be taking our foot off the gas, Ben, in the next couple of games. We expect difficult challenges, but ones that we're very much relishing.
Adam Laitland joining us here on the Evo Stick MPL show. Oh, this is great, isn't it?
Yeah, we've seen a couple of weeks ago Nantwich South Shields at the top. Now it's Farsley and Warrington's turn. we said some out to break, and we're still nowhere near closer with the top two deciding who they are at this moment in time. All it takes is Farsley to drop points. We could see a late, or the Nantwich fixtures coming up. South Shields starting to have a little bit of a wobble, but again, we know what how capable they are. They did this at the start of the season, and look what they did up till the last 2 weeks. Even Scarborough, yeah, there's the two games behind the Leeds at this moment in time, but they've still got the capability. They aren't exactly out of the woods just yet. They've got games for nipping on them, so they've got to start watching what they do there too, really. We've kind of seen, we're now in the business end of the season.
It is interesting, and I wouldn't like to call it. Luckily, I don't have to, because next week the monthly show's back. That's right, we brought it back a week early. So that's going to be a discussion point for next week about the title, and I'm pretty sure that following this weekend's results and Tuesday night's results as well next week, probably got a new complexion entirely with the title race. It's certainly epic stuff. Just to finish off the teams in the playoffs, Nantwich Town and Scarborough, they drew 1-1 on Saturday. Nantwich Town coming back from 1-0 down at half-time in that game there. So the playoffs is Scarborough Athletic are on 54 points from 31 played. Nantwich Town, 3 points up the road with a game in hand. Gainsborough Trinity are the team in sixth. They're 2 points behind Scarborough, and they've played a game more. But a good result for Gainsborough Trinity on Saturday, beating Stalybridge Celtic by 1-0. Now, obviously, last week we had a big discussion about what was taking place at Gainsborough, and Liam King in temporary charge at the North Home. And following that win, I think it would be only right to invite Liam on. So let's hear now from the temporary manager at Gainsborough Trinity is Liam King.
Great start. It was a crazy week. Obviously, so happy to get a win on the board. I think everyone at the club needed that win. The players, obviously, everyone behind the scene. I'm just taking care of things for the time being. So it was fantastic. Yeah, great buzz around the club for getting that first win.
And it's been a weird season for yourself, really. Anyway, hasn't it? Because obviously, you know, club captain. Got a bit of an injury, offered to give up your contracts, and then you're coming back as interim manager. It's been a bit of a whirlwind season for yourself.
Yeah,
hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. I mean, obviously, I started off playing really well at the start of the season, and just October, I felt something in my back, and it was quite a serious one. It was a disc bulge in my back, so I was obviously trying to get fit all season, and it was just one thing after another with it. So I just conceded it and just rung the club and said, I'm not going to be back for the rest of the season, but I'll still be about the club and watch the games and that. And, you know what I mean? Move forward from there. And next minute, a few days later, the chairman's ringing me asking me just to take it for look after it while they recruit for a new manager.
And it was a great start, wasn't it? That win against Stalybridge. How has your teammates taken to it as well? Because it's not like you're a player manager, is it? Because you know, like you say, you have got the injury. So, but how has the dressing room taken to you?
Well, I think that everyone's responded really well. I think obviously, I think if you ask the players, they'd say it's been a positive reaction everywhere about the place. So I don't think you can play and manage. I think it's one or the other. And obviously, being caretaker manager, I'm just obviously going in looking as if I'm doing it all the time. And do you know what I mean? You've got to start as you mean to go on. And the lads have been bang on in training. And obviously, we've done little different routines than usual. And it seems to be taking well at the minute. But look, we've only played one game and it's gone well. But can soon turn around football, so look, we've got a long way to go yet, so I'll just keep looking after it for the time being and until they're obviously told otherwise off the chairman.
And this weekend you've got North Ferby away, the mother of all banana skins, I'm going to suggest, with Scarborough Athletic having to take on a tricky challenge themselves in Michelover Sports, and Nantwich having to go to Warrington. There is a potential here this weekend for Gainsborough to be in the playoffs come Saturday at 5 o'clock. You're taking each game as it comes. First things first, how do you avoid the banana skin that is North Ferby?
Yeah, well, we've already discussed this. It's the end of the day, North Ferriby are down there. They've lost a lot of the games by one goal. So that shows they're not, you know what I mean? They're not whipping boys. They're still going to be an organised side. So there's no gimmies in our league. There never has been. So I think the only gimme I remember was really when it was Durham City back in the day, about, must have been about 10 years ago, when the, every week they got beat 8 or 9 or 10. But look, you can look at Ferriby's results, they're not losing by big margins. So it is a banana skin, but we've got to get back to doing the basics, which we did on Saturday, and it was successful. So if the lads do the basics again on tomorrow, then I shouldn't see why we couldn't get to take all 3 points.
Thank you, Liam, for bringing up Durham City. I'm an FC United fan, and they did win at Gig Lane that season. But anyway, moving on. it's a very intriguing playoff race that we've got on our hands at the moment, and Gainsborough Trinity well and truly a part of it. What's your prognosis then for the coming weeks for what Gainsborough can do to put the pressure on?
We just got to concentrate on ourselves, and obviously the table will climb that if we get results on the board. And it gets to it's always a tricky point this stage in the season where the teams in the playoffs get that bit more added pressure with people coming up on them, and we've got to make sure that we apply that pressure. So that's in our hands, and like I've been both sides of the coin, and when you are in the playoffs, you are always looking behind you as well as in front to see if anyone can catch it. And obviously Gainsborough Trinity in with a big shout to catch the teams in there. So as long as we can get results on the board, then we've got a great chance.
Liam King, caretaker manager at Gainsborough Trinity, joining us here. And we discussed it last week, James. There is a potential for new management bounce, and it's coming at the right time if that match there on Saturday, that 1-0 win against Stalybridge Celtics, anything to go by.
Yeah, it's something that Gainsborough needed, especially with one or two other results over the weekend as well, because it could have seen them cut even further adrift from the playoff races. They've got a big week. They've got a big couple of weeks coming, which again they could capitalise if Scarborough start to slip up.
Basford United have moved themselves back into contention. I think it's an outside bet at the moment, but you know, with 12 games to go, anything could happen. But Basford United beat Workington. And this is no mean feat, because Workington were in great form. And not only did Basford beat Workington, they beat Workington at Workington, which is great. And not just beat them convincingly by 3-0. Basford United are now 7 points outside the playoffs with a game in hand. So they're not completely out of it either. But a great result there for Basford. Also not completely out of it is Buxton. Buxton got a very good 3-1 win at the Giant Axe on Saturday, beating Lancaster City there by 3-1. So Buxton are now 8 points from Scarborough Athletic, and they've got 2 games in hand, James. So we'll get your thoughts in a second. But with that win, we should invite one of the joint managers back from Silverlands. Please welcome to the show. Here's Paul Phillips. So, Paul, a big thank you for joining us. A fantastic victory there against Lancaster City, following up that great win against Gainsborough Trinity. Not to put too much weight on this, but it looks like you've got the bit between your teeth now as we enter the running.
Yeah, we need to have as well, to be perfectly honest. We've let ourselves down in one or two matches over the last couple of weeks, but over the last probably 10-12 days, we've got everyone back on the field that we needed. I thought the Saturday win was a good win on a tricky pitch against a team that were in form. Week before Gainsborough, to be fair, I thought we played and should have been out of sight in the first 45 minutes. We didn't put them to bed and give them a couple of chances, but I think it would have been a travesty if we hadn't took the 3 points against them a week before. But we need to push on now. We told the lads when we played Gainsborough, we had 15 cup finals, and now we're down to 13. We need to win as many as possible to try and achieve what we need to achieve.
I mean, I did have that question in my mind about that. You know, you got 13 cup finals, and it's difficult though, isn't it? As a management duo, you've got to say we'll take each game as it comes and that kind of thing. But you do have to look at the fixtures to come and try and earmark how you're going to set your team out and motivate your team for those games, because you know you've got you know the likes of South Shields coming up and Witten and the like.
Yeah,
exactly. So how do you set the team up to go at these 13 cup finals, as it were?
I think, like you say, it's horses for courses, isn't it? For me, on Saturday we play Hensford, who seems to be rejuvenated. They've brought some financial clout back in, and the sort of bringing players in, a new regime there. So that'll be a tough test, a different kind of test than when we go to Witten maybe on Tuesday, because Witten will probably push the game for us, and differently probably Ansford will sit in a little bit. We've done our own work, as we do on every team, so we just set up accordingly. But it gives you a lot more ammunition when you can pick the team that you want and the squad that you want, because without Josh Mead, obviously, who's suspended, apart from that, we've got everyone available who we need available, hopefully, to win these matches.
Now, you're obviously no strangers to promotion races in the Evo Stick. Have you ever known anything like this, by the way? Because the title race is a three-horse race. The playoff race is tantalisingly going to open up, I think, in the next few weeks or so. Have you ever known anything like it? It feels very, very difficult to get out of this division this season.
I think it is. I think we had the conversation, and no disrespect to the people that went up last year, but I think if you looked at Elsingham, we're runaway leaders, and the teams like underneath them, Ashton, I think it was Ashton and Grantham, Warrington and Farsley, who realistically knew that was in them playoffs probably 2 weeks before. And I think this time it's going to go right down to the wire. For me, it's a lot stronger league. I think there's probably five or six teams that are strong enough to win the actual league. South Shields, obviously Warrington, Scarborough, to name a few, and obviously Nantwich are up there as well. But I think we've got to cast ourselves away from that and just say it's a waste of time looking at other teams. You've just got to do your own job, get the points on the board, and then hopefully get to a point where the games are coming that you know where you need to go and you know what you need to do in the games. And at Ashton, when we was there and we got in the playoffs, I think obviously Charlie won the league by quite a long way. I think Farrell won the league by quite a long way. And I can't think who the other one was who went on and won the league. But it was always a done deal at the top of the table. So the only good thing it gives obviously the paying public a lot of interesting games to come. So, and obviously the people who are writing about it yourselves to talk about. So I think it's a good thing for football in general that it is so many people that have still got an interest in things that are going on at the top and bottom of the table.
Shame on you, Paul. It was FC United. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, sorry about that.
So, as you alluded to, Paul, obviously, you know, a big game this weekend against Hensford at home, and then an away trip to Winsham Park on Tuesday night. How's the squad shaping up as we enter these next couple of games?
Like I say, really good. We've got no excuses. We've got a full squad to pick from. Diego Garoma was on the bench last week. Would have liked to give him some minutes, but with a playing surface, not a great surface last week, and then being out with a knee injury for 13 weeks, and we sort of risk assessed it and sort of think that it wasn't really worth it. So we've had two good sessions this week. So we've got a good squad. The squad's all in place. Theo Roberts is now coming back, so it gives us competition right across the pitch from the goalie to the forward line. So I think it's the strongest we've been for many a week. So, like I say, as a management team, you can't think of anything better.
Paul Phillips, joint manager at Buxton. I said a couple of weeks ago, that if they beat Gainsborough, it was on. Buxton beat Gainsborough. They've won again, James, against Lancaster City. They're within touching distance of the playoffs if they win their games in hand. It's on, isn't it, for Buxton?
It's not just for Buxton, I think for Basewood as well at this moment in time. Both a massive turnaround at Basewood. So three straight wins, and again, the next couple of weeks as well. The two games in hand they've got against Gainsborough could see them leapfrogging in the table. We know Buxton have had rollercoaster ends to the season in the past. We've seen it. This is why Gainsborough have got to start looking over their shoulder.
And Hyde United, they're in ninth position now. They're 11 points from the playoffs. A bit of a stretch for them, but they do have a game in hand. But with Buxton, Basford and Gainsborough in the way as well, it is a push, I think, for Hyde United now. But, you know, that win against Michelover Sports isn't going to be doing them any harm. Michelover Sports 0, Hyde United 2. Matt Locker in 10th. And then there's Witten Albion. And we heard from Simo, me and the early, didn't we, James? And fix the playoff races back on for Witten Albion. It's been a good couple of days for Witten. Not only did they beat North Ferriby by 1-0 on Saturday at Winsham Park, on Tuesday night they travelled up to Cumbria and beat Workington by 2-0. A good couple of results that for Cal McCauley's side. Certainly does settle, I think, any worries about relegation. They're now on 41 points. I caught up with Cal McCauley on Friday.
Yeah, we're happy. We're happy with the progress, what we're making. And we're looking to continue the hard work what we're putting in games and in training sessions to get us these results much needed.
And both those results now take you comfortably into mid-table land. I mean, the last time we had you on, we were talking about the games in hand, and you were down the lower end of the table but with loads of games in hand. And, you know, we were talking about can Witton Albion get to the playoffs. But you always had in the back of your mind, after speaking with Simo and yourself, you know, we need to get the wins to get ourselves away from the relegation zone, because it's all right having those games in hand. It's another one having points on the board. So what's been your take since we last spoke over the festive period and beyond?
Yeah, we've had a good month ahead of us, taking 9 points out of a total 12, so that was very good for us. And we're just looking to continue the hard work that we're putting in, Ben. We had a great result against Dalybridge away. And obviously we had Basford away from home, and along with Workington away from home. So they were three massive games for us. And then obviously the home game against North Ferriby. So we collected 9 points in total ahead of the 12 that we picked up. So I'm really, really pleased with that.
I mean, and you must be pleased as well, because, you know, when we look at the lower end of the table, that it's so competitive down there, and a string of results and a string of negative results the other way, and you're in the mess, aren't you? And that's any way to get out of that bottom half of the table must be welcomed as we enter March.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're not out of it. It does give us a little bit of breathing space along the way, but like I just said, we've had a great month, and anyone can have them months, and Wigginson are a good side, and they could have a month where everything goes right for them. They could pick up a lot of points, so that's important to us that we're not out of it, but we continue to do the hard work and keep growing and growing. I think what's helped us is we brought in a couple of players, and obviously Ozzy and Luke from Crew, and that's been able to rotate the squad for us a touch, and it's been really, really helpful. But it's a tight at the bottom in terms of where it's laying in 11th, and we're still not out of it. So that really speaks volumes about the league, Ben. I think it's a really, really tough league, and given any day, anyone can take points off anyone.
And to prove how tough it is, this weekend you've got to go up to the league leaders, Fars and Celtic. But an interesting stat I picked up off your wonderful social media team on Twitter. You've had 8 wins on the road. You are quite a different beast on the road as well this season.
Yeah, I think we've been really good in terms of conceding goals. I think we're second best in the league. We've got 8 clean sheets, which is up there with the big guns of your Farsley, but we'll go there. We know it's going to be a tough game, Ben, in terms of they're a great side. They've got a big squad, a strong squad. They're flying high at the moment. We were unlucky last time out at home. They scored last minute after us twice being in the lead. But it'll be an important game for us. We're really, really strong out of possession at the moment. And as you can see, we're the second best in the league for not conceding goals. So long may that continue. And we'll try get a result that we all want to win.
Cal McCauley there, manager at Witton Albion, joining us here on the MPL show. They are safe now, James. Can they look even further up now, do you think? Or is it a bit too much of an ask with the games in hand they've got?
Very, very tough ask, I think. Purely just going off the next couple of weeks' fixtures as well from at this moment. Great results, what they've had recently. Working someone, again, no mean feat at this moment in time, beating them 2 straight beats for them now at the same time. But they've come out of that little bit of a patch of either being on the road because of weather situations and playing the teams down the lower end of the table. The next couple of weekends, they've got Fars, Scarborough, and then towards the end of the season as well, teams in that mid-table slash that promotion push at this moment in time. But considering where they were 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, down the bottom end of the table, fantastic turnaround from it. And again, just survival can sometimes be a fact for celebration.
Just to finish off the top half of the table, and a good win for Whitby Town, a 2-1 win over Grantham Town on Saturday. Sees Whitby Town hit the big 4-0. And like I said, we'll be hearing from Andrew Snaith from Yorkshire Coast Radio later with a fixture preview. I'll also judge his mood, because that's 11 points now from the relegation spot. So Whitby Town, I think that's probably it, I'm going to suggest, for them. And worries about relegation.
Yeah. Yeah, again, they're getting the points around the teams near them at this moment in times.
So let's talk about the relegation spots. That defeat there for Grantham keeps them 6 points above the relegation zone, with Michelova Sports still having a game in hand. They're currently the team in 20th. Then there's Workington Town in 21st. They're on 26 points. That's 6 points from safety. But they do have 3 games in hand over Hensford Town, and they are 9 points behind Grantham Town, and they've got 3 games in hand over Grantham Town as well. So, bit twitchy, I'm going to suggest, for Grantham Town down. It's not completely beyond all realms of possibility that Bamber Bridge might be in trouble too. Stafford Rangers 1, Bamber Bridge 0. Sees Bamber Bridge drop down to 15th position now, 7 points from the relegation places. That result sees Stafford Rangers launch themselves 4 points clear of the relegation zone now. So let's welcome back one of the management duo at Stafford Rangers. Please welcome back to the show. Here's Andrew Fearn.
It was a fabulous result, Ben, but it was nerve-wracking right up until the final few minutes of injury time, because we started the game very brightly, scored fairly early on to give us, you know, to relieve the nerves a little bit. And perhaps with the possession that we had in the first half and the opportunities on goal, I think we had 11 in total. We should have perhaps gone in a little better to the good, maybe 2 or 3 to the good, and we weren't. So second half was about defending resolutely against a very well-drilled Bamber Bridge side who came at us for the first 15 minutes of the second half. We kind of weathered the storm and then got back into the game a little bit, and perhaps a great effort from Andy Howarth, which rattled the crossbar, which I think is still shaking now. We perhaps could have nicked another goal, and then we were very reliant in the dying minutes on Adam Sibitzer making a superb save from Wadakar to keep us the 3 points. So very nerve-wracking, as I said, but nevertheless, a great result on the day, and I think a well-deserved win if the scoreline was a little low.
It's been a crackers relegation battle up until a couple of weeks ago. Baysford United were only 12 points above the relegation zone. Everyone's been in play pretty much. It feels like if you get some run, some wins and an unbeaten streak going, you still can't get yourselves away from the relegation places. But that win against Bamber keeps Bamber Bridge in play for yourselves, but also crucially gives you a 4-point cushion. What's it like being down there at the moment?
Well, without being disrespectful, Ben, we're not really looking at the other results at the moment. I mean, it's more about how we're performing, and we're taking each game one at a time and putting a side together that we think can get us some points. And we have done that over the last 6 or 7 games. I think we've lost once to Scarborough, and we've been picking up points. So we're concentrating on what we're doing. And clearly, yes, at the end of the game last Saturday, we can look around and say, well, that's a job well done, because the other teams in and around us lost. And that gives us a bit of breathing space. But I then look at the fixture list to come, starting with Baysford tomorrow away, and you can't take anything for granted. And you're right, Baysford are, I think, two places outside of the playoffs. The irony is they've lost as many games as we have this season, but they've won more and not drawn as many as us, which is why they're up there. So it just shows you how this league table changes with a couple of good results. And that's what we're drilling into our players, is a couple of good results, and we could be looking down at the bottom half and starting to see some security. But we're not taking it for granted, Ben.
And like you say, it is Baysford away this weekend. And good stat that, by the way, Andrew. I hadn't noticed that before about the games lost column. That's really good stat, that. It is a case of 12 cup finals now, isn't it? And just getting the thing over the line. I mean, what? It's a horrible question to ask, but have you got a points tally in mind?
I haven't, Ben, literally because we're looking at each game as it comes. I think it's an old cliche to say when you've got, 22 teams in a league, you probably need 40 points for survival. But looking at the points tally that a lot of clubs have got in and around us at the moment, I think it's probably going to take 45-ish to be certain, unless somebody goes on a really bad run and just can't keep up with the pack. But we're just focused on tomorrow's game at Baysford. And I'll give you another stat about Baysford. They've conceded the same amount of goals as Stafford, 55. They just happened to be Nathan Watson, got a lad who scored a lot of goals and gives them a better goal difference than us. So it really is a strange league. And we go to Basford tomorrow, having beaten them comfortably in the league at our place back in the autumn, and then going there in the trophy and getting comfortably beaten by them. So who knows how tomorrow's going to finish, but we'll certainly believe that we've got a chance of getting something out of the game tomorrow.
And there'll be a good travelling army going to that game as well in Nottinghamshire. But just a quick mention for the home match at Marston Road against Marine next Saturday. That's a big game, and you're going to want a big crowd for that one.
Yes, I mean, the fans have been superb, Ben, to be frank. I mean, I think we had nearly 600 there last week against Bamber Bridge. I'm sure they'll be there. They'll be the same, similar amount, maybe a few hundred more for the game against Marine. Very, very competitive game it will be against Marine. We've played them twice this season, lost narrowly to an injury time penalty at their ground back in the autumn, and then beat them in the Intercup at our place. So two sides that will battle all day long, and I'm sure it'll prove an eventful game next week. But again, it'll be nerve-wracking, the same as any game will be at the moment for us.
Andrew Fern, manager at Stafford Rangers. So the relegation spots, I'm just seeing if I've missed anyone off. There was a good result for Marine, superb result. Marine beating Hensford Town by 1-0 at Keys Park. That sees Marine now 9 points clear of the relegation zone. So it's looking like the bottom half of the table is starting to stretch out a bit, James, but we're still none the wiser about who's going to be joining North Ferriby, are we?
Not at this moment in time. I mean, North Ferriby have just hanging in there. Looking at who the bottom end they've got to play at the moment. Workington, yeah, they've had a massive turnaround, but I've just seen their fixture list. They're running. It's not pretty. They've got, if they're going to get out of trouble, they've got to do it now, because again, they've got the likes of South Shields, Buxton, Beesford United and Gainsborough to play yet. Not teams you really want to be playing in that sort of situation. But sometimes that can sometimes be a spur for you, because you know you're playing a lot tougher teams. Stafford Rangers, again, being very on and off. They've really got to watch their backs at this moment in time. Grantham, the new management, seems to be doing quite a lot of work at the moment with their team. Obviously, the lad that's come in and won goal of the week last week for his goal against South Shields. That was his debut for the club at the same time. He's only there on loan for a month at the moment. So down the bottom end, again, teams really can't be thinking they're safe at this moment in time. I'd say from Marine down, but again, Marine being the on-form team might just get away with it.
A big thank you, James. It's going to be very, very interesting, isn't it, over the next couple of months or so. We have got the monthly show next week where we'll be discussing in a bit more detail the title race, the playoff race and the relegation picture. But in the meantime, James, social media, you're busy on that with Goal of the Week competitions and all that. But also, something else has happened. On Saturday at 7 o'clock, you made an announcement, James. What was that announcement?
So, once again, the Supporters Player of the Year Awards are upon us. Who's the person to take over from Julio Arkin this season as the Supporters Player of the Year?
Can we not give it to Julio now? Again?
He's not a player anymore.
I love talking to him last season. He's such a nice guy. But anyway, crack on.
Yeah, so again, it's all up and running. Three ways to nominate this season. Facebook on the photo that we've shared out, and you can see the rules on. Same with Instagram. On Twitter, using the hashtag MPLSpots. You can only vote once over any of the three formats. Any others will be deleted.
I don't like you like this, James. Judge Dredd, James, I don't like it. Are you banning these people for multiple votes, or are you just giving them a warning first time round?
Warning and being told that it's not going to count. So.
Okay, right.
And also, you've only, as of listening to this, you've only got till Sunday, 10 o'clock, to put your nomination in. So we're
10 p.m. or 10 a.m.?
10 p.m.
Good, because people might be in church. You don't want to make them do that during confession or anything.
We've got to
like
make
that.
Sure. Well, we're giving people the opportunity to watch the League Cup final and make their mind up. So
good. They might fall asleep. But anyway, thank you, James, for joining us. Much appreciated. You keep up the good work, and we'll see you next week down at the Heating Hop. And a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show. But it's now time to draw a line under the past and gaze into the future. And looking at the future with me, both in aghast and in awe, we're now joined by the other end of the phone by the wonderful from Yorkshire Coast Radio. It's Mr. Andrew Snaith. Hello, Andy. How are you?
How you been? I'm fine, thanks, mate. Yourself?
I'm all good. I'm all good. So we've got a cracking title race developing. We've got a cracking playoff race developing. And we've got a right good old-fashioned relegation ding-dong down the bottom end also happening as well. So lots of important matches taking place this weekend. But we're going to start things off talking about Hyde United against Whitby Town. Because Whitby Town have now made the big 4-0. Are you happy with that now? I think you were safe anyway, but I think that's more or less done now, isn't it?
Oh, I'm not going to say that, Ben, especially not on recorded radio. No, not quite. But yeah, I'm happy with how things have gone. I'm not necessarily in the majority there. There's a few Whitby fans who maybe have a different view there. I think a mid-table finish would be a decent return considering the difficult season we had last time around. It's been a consolidation season, and I think we could still make that top 9 or 10 and hide just 3 points ahead of us, albeit with a better goal difference. But yeah, it should be a good game. It's a kind of race for the top 9. Not quite as much of an exciting sound to that, though.
I'm sure you'll make it exciting, though, on Yorkshire Coast Radio, that's for sure. And I'll let you have a good old-fashioned plug at the end of this bit of the show. But let's talk about a bit higher up the league table. Farsley Celtic out in front, I think because their name begins with F. Oh, no, they've scored more. Farsley Celtic currently out in front on goal difference. This weekend, they'll be taking on Witton Albion, who we did hear from Cal McCauley earlier. No longer looking at the relegation zone, I think, but more looking at the playoffs. It's definitely on now for Witton Albion. This is a tricky game, though, for Farsley Celtic, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've talked about Witton being in a false position for most of the season, with them being in the bottom half. They're now up in 11th spot. An outside shout for the playoffs, but certainly they've been a top half club, really, in all but name for most of the campaign. They were a good side, beaten us a couple of times, us in Whitby, and I think they're a good team, and they will give Farsley a test. But, I mean, looking at Farsley's record, yes, the top on goals scored only, which you know, for us as neutrals is brilliant, and a hell of a title race, which I'm sure it will go all the way down to the wire, but it just shows the consistency. They've been terrific this season.
How many puns about White going down to the wire do you think we're going to get in by the end of the season? Obviously, sorry everyone at Warrington, but it's there, it's obvious, isn't it? Warrington Town this weekend taking on Nantwich Town. Some would call that a derby. I should say, Simo and everyone on the MPL show, we're loving Geography Corner that you bring into the table, Mr. Snaith. It's good every time you come on. But this one, it's kind of Cheshire derby. Warrington against Nantwich, it's a must win for both clubs, but for kind of different reasons now, all of a sudden. I know there's only two places between them in the league table, but Gainsborough are kind of getting their thing together at the moment, aren't they? And Warrington need to stay in the title race. So a big, big game this one for both clubs.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, Nantwich just looking to make sure that they stay in that playoff shake-up, and Warrington obviously looking to keep on the pressure with Farsley. Very much must win with Farsley having that game in hand as well, which might well prove crucial, but... Yeah, I like the geography discussions. It shows my ignorance of the North West, perhaps, but also the fact that Whitby have gone nigh on 20 years without a proper derby before we managed to get Scarborough in the same division. So, yeah, anything in the same county.
You're just getting your own back for all those years of us saying, oh, Whitby against Blyth, local derby. You're just getting your own back, aren't you? Let's be honest. Scarborough, then, speaking of the enemy just to the south, Scarborough hosting Michelover Sports this weekend. A good 1-1 draw for Scarborough against Nantwich Town. Nothing ventured, nothing gained and all that. 2 points still inside the playoff for Scarborough. Michelover, though, it's stretching out a bit, isn't it, down the bottom end? I mean, we talked about Whitby. They're now 11 points from the relegation zone, and it is starting to stretch out a bit. So we're entering that stage now where, you know, Michelover have to start getting points on the board.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But they're in a really good scrap, I think, with Hensford just three points ahead of them. They've got a game in hand on Hensford as well. Stafford Rangers just above them there as well. Lancaster, who've played a couple of games more. There's only a few points separating them. I know what you mean, but you're looking down and you see Michelover on 29 points, Workington second bottom only 26, but they've got key games in hand, but they have to start winning pretty damn sharpish. It's a really good battle down the bottom, and we're talking about must-win games. Yeah, must-win for Scarborough to keep up their promotion hopes, but must-win for Michelover, of course, to stave off those relegation fears.
Absolutely. Let's talk a bit more about the other team that we've not mentioned from the playoff contenders, and that's South Shields. South Shields travelling to Bamber Bridge. South Shields, it will be interesting to see how they bounce back from that Warrington defeat at home.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, they did have that 100% home record for so long. They're just having a little bit of a stumble at the moment, Ben. Just got off the boil a little bit, and after the superb season they've had, they'll be just desperate to turn things around, obviously. If they look back at the end and they don't get promotion, they'll be looking at that away form and cursing it. They turned it around so well after the start they made to the campaign, but would it be enough? You know, it's certainly going to be interesting. I mean, for me, they have the quality, certainly going forward. They play brilliant football, but are they going to have enough to stave off, Farsley and Warrington, who've been consistent throughout?
And it is remarkable. I know we've got 12 games left of the season, but if South Shields don't get a result against Bamber Bridge, and it's a tough place to go to, the Sir Tom Finney Stadium, especially given, you know, their need for points as well. If Warrington and Farsley get positive results, South Shields could be 8 points behind the league leaders, which is quite a lot, actually, at this stage of the season, isn't it? And it's only happened in the last couple of games that's stretched out the way it has. No margin for error. And that goes for the playoff race as well. And a good win for Gainsborough Trinity last week. And Gainsborough Trinity travelling to Northoby United, with Scarborough taking on Michelover Sports as well, and Nantwich Town taking on Warrington. There's a half chance here for Gainsborough to get themselves into the playoff positions. Is there any hope for Northoby here in this game?
You would think probably not. You would think not. It is an opportunity for the sides in and around at the top end, with most of them taking on teams around the bottom. But then there's that big game, that Warrington-Nantwich game. So somebody's going to drop points up there. Farsley will be licking the lips, Scarborough will be licking the lips and looking at that situation, the South Shields as well, looking to turn things around. But you know, you would think that Ferby won't take any more points there. But fascinating to see what's gonna happen here. It's a hell of a tough run for Nantwich as well. It's gonna say that they've played a lot of the top teams over the last few weeks.
What about Basford United? Basford United taking on Stafford Rangers this weekend. And I might as well throw Buxton against Hensford, because it's kind of a similar situation in a way. Buxton have got one game more in hand than Basford United have, and Basford have got two games in hand over Gainsborough and a game in hand over Scarborough as well. So both Buxton and Basford not completely out of the playoff race, but Stafford Rangers and Hensford Town aren't completely out of the relegation battle either. Two massive non-league clubs down the bottom end of the table there, who'll be desperately wanting to get themselves clear of the relegation zone. There's easier places to go to than Basford and Buxton, in all fairness.
Yeah, there is, and just looking at the table, you know, those games in hand, Buxton have two games in hand on Scarborough, they're 8 points behind. I mean, that is not an insurmountable number of points. They're not out of it.
Andy, I said it's on. It's on for Buxton, I think.
I think so. I mean, look at the record. They've only lost 7 games. You know, you look elsewhere, you know, there's three of the top four, and nobody else can compete with that record. You know, they'll kick themselves in the amount of games they've drawn. But yeah, Buxton do have a chance. They are in that race with Gainsborough and with Scarborough, and Basford not out of it either. But there'll be another team like South Shields that, if they don't make it, they'll look at the away form and be furious.
Absolutely. It's an outside bet as well, we should say, for Hyde United. Hyde United taking on Whitby, but it does feel like now that it's the top eight for playoff contention this season now, it looks like. Would you agree with that?
Should I jinx it? Should I?
just saying. But I'm sure Matlock will have something to say. Matlock, this weekend, will be travelling to Grantham Town. Grantham Town, great result against South Shields, but they're not completely out of it. It's 6 points clear of the relegation zone at the moment. We might as well throw Lancaster City in the mix as well of talking points. Lancaster City travelling to Stalybridge Celtic on Saturday. It's a case now for both Grantham and Lancaster. A few more wins and it's more comfortable, but a couple of defeats and they're back in it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, those gaps can soon shorten. You know, there's always somebody, isn't there, that comes from nowhere and pushes on up the top, and there's always somebody who gets dragged in at the wrong end. I don't know who it's going to be, but there's always some team that drops and plummets. And as journalists, we'll keep a very close eye on this.
And one last game to talk about, and it's just a small game. It's Marine against Workington. Boom! Marine, they've done a remarkable job under Neil Young in recent weeks. It's been a superb turnaround. They're just 2 points behind Whitby Town, 9 points clear of the relegation zone now. Workington, second bottom. They went on a good run, tagged back a bit in the last couple of games. They're 6 points inside the playoffs. They have got 3 games in hand. Stafford Rangers, Hensford looking over the shoulder at Workington. They need results, and this is a tough, tough game for Workington at Marine, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. I mean, Marine, I was talking to Paul Conley about this as well, at a recent game. They, no matter what run they're on, they flirt with relegation and they somehow drag themselves out in the last couple of months of the season. And again, it's going to be, you know, we're very proud of being 21 seasons in this league. Marine, goodness knows, 40 seasons, something like that. I mean, will it ever be bettered? Yeah, as you say, fantastic job there to turn things around. And to be honest, I think most people have a bit of a soft spot for them and the work that they've done there. Second half of the season is superb. Workington, on the other hand, you know, we talked about the games in hand. They have the wins need to come now because they are staring down the battle.
And one of those games in hand will be taken up on Tuesday night. And it's Workington against Warrington. Ouch.
Wow. That's a big one, isn't it?
Big game, isn't it? But probably not as big as Saturday's encounter at Ewan Field, Tyne United against Whitby Town. Andrew Snaith will be there on Yorkshire Coast Radio. Will you be there?
I won't be there.
You will be. You won't be there, but you will be there.
I won't be there. Oh, I won't be no. there, Ben.
Well,
no,
the proper commentator, Paul Connolly, will be there. He'll be there.
He won't, Ben. No, he won't.
Is anyone going to be there? Aunt Taylor will be there, live from Hyde United. That's a joke, Aunt. That's a joke. The other guy from Scarborough, what's his name? Burke. Burke will be there for 26-0.
Burke, of course, will be there.
Yorkshire Coast Radio will be there though, in some guise, I'd imagine.
They will. Good. They will. We've got Liam Ryder and Mike Tomar Thompson on the wheels of steel there for Yorkshire Coast Radio Extra. So don't worry, the B team are in town inside against Whitby, and it's the battle for 9 spots.
Boom. And that, dear listener, is the end of this week's show. A big, big thank you to Andrew Snaith and all my guests this week for joining me. Remember, you can keep up to date with all the latest goings on from the world of the Northern Premier League by visiting the website evostickleague.co.uk. You can also follow this show on Twitter, that's at NPL Show. I've been Ben, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evostick Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye bye.
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like from EvoStick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the EvoStick League this year?
The EvoStick League?
Yeah, EvoStick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You'd better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from EvoStick. Proud sponsors of the EvoStick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new EvoStick app.